Welcome back to another Jackrabbit Illustrated podcast brought to you by our title sponsor, the Kubota Dealers of South Dakota. Whether it's tractors, mowers, utility vehicles, construction, or farm equipment, Kubota's got you covered. Now with 9 locations across the state of South Dakota, there's always a dealer nearby. Visit your local Kubota dealer today. Jackrabbit podcasts are also sponsored by Culver's of Brookings in Watertown, the home of the Butterburger, Jackrabbit Central, the best place to get your Jack's gear, and the best sports bar in South Dakota, Cubby Sports Bar and Grill. Without further ado, here is the A-Team.
And welcome to the Jackrabbit Illustrated podcast. Now, the number 180th most popular podcast in the sports category in the country of Angola. Thank you, fans. Thank you for the listener in Angola for making us this. This is a huge honor. We're just shocked as shit about it. So thanks. Thanks, that listener.
Did you figure out how many Kwanzaa that's going to translate to?
I have not yet. I have not.
Do I have to pretend like I'm not impressed with that intro? That caught me off guard so much.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, Chad. I sent it to you to give me feedback on, but apparently you couldn't open it, so that's my bad.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I couldn't open it either.
No, and so. I thought it was great.
Oh, thank you. Yes, yeah. Yes, that's the new opening. We're kind of somewhat copycatting, piggybacking off what Brenda did. So
he's a trendsetter.
So. I guess so.
Yeah.
I like ours better.
Right. Yeah.
I'm partial to it. John Colley likes it, and that's all that matters.
There we go. Thank you, John, for your support. We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
So how the heck are you guys doing?
Yeah, pretty good.
I'm tired.
Yeah. What you tired for?
I've been digging holes for the last 2 days with the pickaxe.
Digging the trench.
trench and shovel. So yeah. Now, I haven't dug the trench yet. I still got that to do, but anyway.
Well, and staying up until God knows what hour doing a podcast with Borg and Brendan or whatever.
Well, I signed off a little early, but I did catch that they were still on at like 12:45. So that's a thing, I guess.
Has Brendan woke up yet? I don't know. I haven't heard from him much today. So
yeah, well, that's true. But I listened. I caught it this morning. Listened to, I don't know, the first half an hour or so. Other than the awful audio issues, I mean, I did enjoy the content. That was good.
Yeah, yeah, it's good. Yeah. You're just getting situated.
So yeah. I don't know. Otherwise, I'm good. Headed to Kentucky again for the 80,000th time for work here. So I appreciate you guys. Those of you, you know, that moved your schedules to watch us, that's ridiculous. But thanks anyway. And it's entirely my fault. So.
And I know we're up against the Twins. Deb Debates, let us know that. But hopefully we can do both. You know, have the Twins on the big screen, I guess, and us on your iPad, computer, phone. Whatever. So yeah. Hey Dallas, I didn't get to show you this yet. What? So check out the new merch, the JI.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's in our store.
That looks great. How do I get some?
Yeah, you can go to our website, jackrabbitillustrated.com, and click on store, and then you can choose whatever you want. There's children's sizes. There's women's sizes. Men's have some of the tall versions that Chad and Brendan request. So those are there. Not in everything, but in a lot of things have tall sizes. So
some of us long torsoed individuals really appreciate that.
Yeah. So there we go. Oh, thanks. Thanks, whoever put that in there. So good job, Chad. Thanks. It's in the chat for those of you that are wondering on Facebook and YouTube. So
I thought that was kind of my job. So, you know,
oh, you're right. You're right. All right. So Dallas, we don't have you for long before you get on the plane. Thoughts on the game, initial impressions.
Thoughts on the game. So I've been at work all day. I did not get a chance to read Rants and Raves. So I will admit that right up front, but I will do it as soon as I get onto the plane. One offensive line, 605 Hogs, unbelievable job. Watching us be dominant in the run game is incredibly fun, especially against a team that, you know, the people picked Isaiah Davis last week as player of the game. And we had our question marks because they were only allowing 56 yards per game on the ground or whatever it was. And we had that 30 seconds into the game, I think. which was, God, that was fun to watch. But no, it was, that was great. That was my favorite part. Special teams, I'm sure we'll talk about. There were some frustrations there. And again, all criticism, if you want to call it that, is one, the ridiculous idea of expecting perfection, and two, just knowing how good this team is and being concerned about what could happen down the road, because obviously everybody, the expectation is a national championship, right? And then the, I guess the other piece, if you want to call it criticism or not even criticism, concern, had a few question marks for me in pass defense. And the more I thought about it, you know, when you go, if you look down box scores for the year, there's nothing you can point to and say, oh my goodness, here's a scary statistic in our pass defense. But there are still the things that don't hit the box score that are scary situations, things that make you feel a little bit uncomfortable. And to me, if we pull in, I haven't watched Incarnate Word once this year, but we're going to pretend that it's the same Incarnate Word of old. If we pull them, you know, second round coming to Brookings and get pulled into a shootout with somebody with a bunch of track athletes, you know, I think we might have some things to shore up. So again, great win. We beat the pants off of the number 22 team in the country. So I'm not going to pretend like that didn't happen, but those are kind of my thoughts.
Yeah. And, you know, you started out, Dallas, there talking about the 605 Hogs right away and then Isaiah Davis. And that's how the order I went in on Rants and Raves. So,
oh, really?
We saw it the same. Yeah. So
good.
That's kind of funny.
Oh, and I'm sure the other thing you brought up, that broadcast was complete garbage. And I will focus on the positive, though, because that allowed me the opportunity to dial in Tyler Merriam and listen to him the entire time. And God, that was great. Although, okay, you're smiling and nodding here. Maybe here's another thing. Did you bring up? I couldn't figure out. I got off by about 3 seconds every commercial break. I would get it down to, like, when the ref talked, it was perfectly synced up. And then by the time we came back from the next commercial break, it would be off just a little bit. And I have no idea why. But yep. Otherwise, love the experience.
Yeah, I remember my little really speaker did that in my for living half, room. But yeah. Dallas, are you sure you're not just reading Rants and Raves? Because
I am not. I don't have it pulled up, I promise.
Because it's pretty much word for word. Well, especially the part about the broadcast there. So
that's funny. But on Isaiah, man, what a game, right? And when we had Tanner on a couple of weeks ago, you know, talking before excellent Deb. There we go. Deb DeBates is checking in, letting us know that she's watching the Twins and listening to us. So
thanks, I think Deb. I appreciate you, Deb.
But Isaiah Davis, you know, just looked possessed when we had Tanner on. Said, he was waiting kind of for Isaiah to have his breakout game, because right in the three non-conference clashes, he had 24 carries and he had 20 just in this game. So yep. That's pretty cool to see. And then the big thing for me, seeing how we have so many guys that came back for their final, you know, a sixth season to improve their draft stock, whatever that may be. And the Senior Bowl was in the house for this one. That was very cool right before the game started, and Jim Nagy tweeted out a tweet that Senior Bowl was there watching Isaiah Davis and listed some of the characteristics that Davis has. And so for them to be able to see, you know, Jackson. Hold
on. Yeah. Sorry, hold on. I saw the tweet. Who was there?
So it's Nagy. One of their scouts or it was Nagy himself. I'm guessing it was one of their scouts.
That's awesome. I had no idea.
Yeah. No, because
the Senior Bowl has never been to an SDSU game. He's always sending texts back and forth. I send on Twitter him stuff. With Nagy.
He likes that's our job favorite, is to promote our players. Cool. So yeah,
you're just in like in like Flynn with him and Ben Fennel, and you know, you're just the pod father. Right.
Oh gosh, stop. But anyways, how cool for our guys, right, to get that opportunity against a defense that was supposedly pretty good and probably will be pretty good the rest of the year. But for not just Isaiah, but for Garrett and Mason to get that opportunity, Zach Hines to get that opportunity, Jackson, to get that opportunity, like that's huge. And they'll maybe make recommendations to, you know, maybe some of the other games for guys that they pass up or that, you know, maybe this will move them a little up on their list. Who knows? But man, I think Isaiah is now a lock for the Senior Bowl, and that's pretty dangerous.
He's got to be. There was a couple of runs where I just started laughing maniacally and my family kind of shot me funny looks because it was just, it finally hit that gear where it's like, oh, you're that much better than everybody else. Okay. Like, yeah. We see it now. Not that it was ever in question, but yeah, just to watch it live and to see him impose his will on other people. Back to Mason though, real quick. Who was it? Did you guys catch the interview that he did?
Oh, that was Sam Herder.
Oh, it was Herder.
It was Stan. Yeah, with Herder. Yeah.
Yeah, with Sam Herder. So if anybody hasn't checked that out, I would go listen to that. And I was impressed at the, I don't know, called professionalism or whatever, but to listen to a six-year senior, a guy that can just articulate like, okay, here's where I am. Here's what we've done. Here's what I wanted to figure. He basically talked about just wanting to pass the eye test. Just like, listen, I'm basically said, listen, I can test. I'm stronger than everybody else. Like, that's all fine. Like, mm-hmm. I dropped my body fat. Like, here's what I had left to prove and here's why I did it. But just hearing that kind of leadership and how he presented himself, that was awesome.
Yeah, he sounded great. I nothing to add there.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just excited for the rest of the time we get with these guys, right? Having lunch with my dad today. Happy anniversary, Mom and Dad, by the way. I'm sure you're watching. So happy anniversary. Happy anniversary.
That's awesome.
Happy anniversary, yeah.
But he asked, is he going to go in the draft, you think? And yeah, at this point, I think he has to go, right? Even if he has the one year left, just with that lifespan of a running back pro career,
yep.
Go get that money. Yeah. Yep. You got to go. So, yeah. But what a fun season, right? With these guys, this last ride with all these 6 year seniors and 5th year seniors. So pretty cool. Good question, Darren. How many yards would Isaiah have if he was the solo back like Zenner or Ronick? Honestly, I don't know, because with his physical style, right, he's had injury problems. He's been injured. He got injured his freshman season that spring, and he got injured. I mean, each year he's had some sort of ding. This year he hasn't, so.
I actually during that game looked over to my family and said that at this point I don't remember what the run was, but he looked like a 6'1" Josh Ronick, and Josh Ronick is probably 5'7" on his tiptoes, but the same just bowling ball will run through anything style, and you see that come out of him, and yeah, I can also I remember how beat up Josh would get after games and by the end of every season, and like I just his knees and everything else. So I'm glad he hasn't had to be in that situation to be the only back and the only focus. And how lucky are we to have two guys behind him? Well, one to have Isaiah behind Pierre, which is ridiculous, and then the other guy that had the ridiculous freshman year that ended up leaving and never playing again. What was his name? Remember? There was somebody that same age that had this ridiculous looking breakout.
Yeah. Yep. The Devin, what was his name? He went to like Eastern Illinois and played safety.
Oh, I didn't think the one I'm thinking of, I don't think ever played again, but anyway,
he was high school teammates with Diamond Evans. So,
okay.
Yeah. What was his name? Yeah. They both left. So
not
yeah.
Devin Cole or not.
No. There was somebody. I'm going to look this up just so I'm not crazy. But there was somebody else that age that looked like they had as much potential talent. But anyway, to have the guys behind him now, to have the games that they had, and to know that if he sits out a game, we are fine. If he sits out two games, we are fine. Like, man, those two just look great.
I don't think we're talking about Isaac Wallace, Ben. Isaac had a good career.
And CJ Wilson was the same class as Pierre.
That's right.
And CJ never played again.
That, I think, is who I'm thinking of. He had a couple of games in my memory.
He was that really shifty back.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
There we go. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, there we go. Thanks, Carter Nold. We have the best listeners. They know stuff. Hey, and one guy we got to shout out for sure, and I talked about this in Rants and Raves, is – Cade Trevier for coming up with that sack at the end. This is something that we've been talking about and asking about all off season. Who's going to step up, make the impact plays at defensive end or defensive line when the team needs it the most. And Cade Trevier closed out that game with that huge sack off the edge. He was not going to be stopped. That was awesome to see him kind of have that moment, right? Like we've been wanting.
And he had almost got one earlier. I think he got it got stopped, the play got stopped or whatever, because they said he jumped. I don't know. That was that series where the guy across from him jumped, like jump. But anyway, I think he could have got a couple more had he not had to slow his timing down. Dude was quick in that game.
Exactly. He looked good. He had something dialed in on that quarterback's cadence, on Anikstad's cadence. My favorite play out of a defensive lineman was Jared DePriest. And I'm trying to remember, it ended up getting nullified, but he drove through, split. I think he beat some guy, then split a double and wound up in Anikstad's lap. And that was probably the most impressive play I saw out of a D lineman all game.
And see, that's the part though. This is me now being super critical. That's the frustrating part about DePriest's game, in my opinion, because he has that ability to absolutely dominate like that. But then there's stretches where he'll disappear. And I think if he could ever get that, you know, somewhere in the middle and be there consistently, and maybe a few more flash plays, like, he'd be an All-American defensive tackle. I think he's that good. That has that much potential.
Yep. No, he does. So. He does strike me as somebody that he's got the talent. If he, and this is pretty easy to say sitting here drinking a glass of whiskey, but if he just decides that he's going to take over on a series, and he absolutely can. You're right. You see flashes of it. You know, some of that, it's really tough at defensive line. Maybe it's true at every position, but a lot of it can be really dictated by what the offense is presenting and what's happening in the scheme of the game. And then again, I've talked about this a million times, that a defensive tackle can play a perfect game and never register on the stat sheet. But yes, he has that ability for sure.
And he has the frame, right, to go with it, where maybe Caleb didn't.
Is he framey? You know?
what bigger did I say last year? Caleb was a little undersized, but played with great leverage. So
yeah. Terry brings up a good point here. It's fair to mention Amar Johnson. He had a great game too. Yeah, Amar looked really good. I when they're both clicking like that and 605 Hogs are like that. Oof. Yeah. It's exciting. And then the other thing in Rants and Raves I talked about is all of our, I want to know, I wish they had scanned the field, or the stands, just to show how many Jackrabbits were actually there.
There was blue.
Yeah, right? Because we know, Gronowski's brought a bus. And the post game, Jimmy talked about Deshaun having like 200 family and friends in the stands. And you know, Amar had a bunch of people there because it's not that far from St. Louis. So it just, like, I would have loved to have, you know, we have 11 guys on our roster from Illinois. So I just would have loved to have seen the stands and how many folks were actually there. So
that the Gronowski's chartering a bus was my favorite part of the weekend. We could have scored 150 points, and having a bus chartered from the Chicago area to come down was my favorite part.
Yeah, I agree. Chad, what about you? What do you got any thoughts on the game?
I mean, I was impressed overall, but like we had talked beforehand, just the middle section of the game, we seemed to really take our foot off the gas, and we kind of played sloppy. I'd say, you know, we weren't really, I mean, we were in threat of it being a one possession game at one point, but not really losing control of the game. It's just, you know, like you said, we're spoiled when we get down on the team for that, but you know, we just expect so much out of them because the potential's there. When they play sloppy and things get a little out of control, the momentum starts swinging the other way. You know, it feels like as a fan, and maybe because it's happened so much in years past that it's just going to go south. But this team and the team last year, they just don't let that happen. So, you know, as long as they continue to not let that happen, I guess we're great.
Yeah. You know, you think like, you know, a 60-minute game, right? All three phases click. We saw that in Frisco last year. I think we saw the team play about as perfect in all three phases as you could.
Yep.
And that was the last game in the season, right? And the biggest game of the season. So, you know, it's pretty hard, I guess, I think Borg talked about this right away last night, or Brendan did for sure. When you're in normal Illinois and you're up by 20 points, it's just kind of natural. You're going to let your guard down a little bit. Yeah.
It's just human nature, I think.
Nope, 100%. As long as that doesn't happen to the point where we actually take an L and risk, you know, the home field advantage and all those things through the playoffs. And but yeah. It is. It's totally human nature.
Chad, throw up Ryan's comment there.
How do we come up on game balls?
Ooh.
And another 55 that drove themselves. Oh my goodness. Awesome.
That's awesome.
And gosh, Ryan was sporting the bibs. I got a picture from Deb. It's pretty sweet. Awesome. Yeah, he was showing out the bibs that we got him. So that's pretty cool.
All right. So we all did all right on game balls. Offensively, Chad, you had said Mark had a good game. I'd said Amar had a good game. But Dallas, the people's champ, took this one with Isaiah Davis. So, all right.
Good job, people.
Good job. Defensively, Deshaun, not a bad pick for Chad. No. And then Dallas, me and the people, and you, said Quentin Hicks. So, who had maybe a quieter game, but, you know, he
showed up a couple times.
Yep. So, Chad, the picture is blurry. What is Ron talking about?
I don't know. My picture's not blurry. Is he talking about the background, the Hobo Day parade?
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
No, that's
Ron, clear. Let us know. What are you talking about?
I mean, I'm as clear as I've ever been, and I don't think you want me any clearer. I don't get prettier.
Yeah. Let's talk about this. Let's go on a mini rant here. All right. Deb, too many penalties all season.
Here.
Yes. There is. I mean, we agree. Jimmy agrees. And the thing that I'm curious to see now is, I think it was last week in the Jimmy Rogers show with Tyler Merriam, maybe even post game, he said, we're going to start sitting folks that if they keep making these penalties, these mistakes, he said a lot of them are on special teams and it's young guys trying to prove themselves or what did he not even say prove themselves. It was just like, almost show off, right? Was kind of what he was saying, I think. And he said, that's going to stop or they will no longer be on the field or something like that, of that gist. I can live with the defensive pass interferences at times. You know, if guys get a little grabby, if they get beat, I can live with the face mask when they're effort. I can live with holding when it's effort. Like, it stinks, but it happens. It gets called. But man, these personal fouls and unsportsmanlike conducts really are starting to drive me bonkers. They really are. But this has been a couple year thing, it feels like. 9 penalties for 90 yards is a lot. So just, it has to stop. I don't know. Do you think Jimmy actually will like start benching guys if they keep getting personal fouls and unsportsmanlike?
I have no idea what he's like as a coach, but a lot of times when a coach says that, it's an empty threat, because, you know, you can't bench, you know, a great player and end up giving up a bunch of yards or have some issues because of it. We are ridiculously deep at every position. So Jimmy has the luxury of, if he really wanted to make a statement, bench somebody, he could do it. And especially if you're talking special teams, and I'm not calling anybody out in particular, but we've talked about how ridiculously deep they are at linebacker and at safety, all those athletes that run around and make great plays on special teams. You could bench somebody to make a statement and we're not going to have a drop off. So I think he could.
Yeah. And it's so Mason McCormick, right? He's a repeat offender here. And Randy Jacobs and Darren are saying, I bet they don't bench Mason.
I mean,
and I'd agree
with
that.
What makes Mason good is he plays with that edge and he plays with a little bit of, you know,
yeah.
You want your whole line leadership to be a complete asshole. I mean, you do.
Yeah.
I
trust Mason.
There you go.
I will.
Yeah. And I trust Mason to not do that in a big moment in a big game. But, you know, kind of the Stig thing though is, right, you got to practice how you how you want it to be at times. Like, just think, like, if Holy Cross, right, who's chippy, we're in the semifinals versus Holy Cross, and he gets baited into something like that. Is he going to be able to walk away or, you know, like that? I don't know. I guess
you just got to go back to the win the response from Chris Kroc at that point, right?
Yeah. Yep. Any word on Bach? It's going to be week to week. That's kind of what we know. It's going to be week to week. And how his leg feels. It's tough. I don't know. Anyone? Either of you have anything?
I mean, apparently he just overdid it a bit the week before. That's the consensus, right? I mean, we don't have any other inside information.
I mean, really to me, you want him for the playoffs. He's an athlete. He's a competitor. He's probably in there lobbying every day to get cleared into play. But to me, sit his ass for 3 weeks. I make sure he's healthy. We've got, again, Savion has played borderline brilliantly in relief when he's needed to. There's no liability there. I mean, again, we've talked about Savion. He's a guy, he could be starting at 90% of the FCS schools in the country, and that's not an exaggeration. So, no, sit him. You've got probably, when healthy, the best linebacker in the division. Make sure he's healthy. Bring him back later.
Yeah, Savion only registered, 10 tackles this game?
I'm sorry. I hate, it's weird to say there's no drop-off when you've got a guy as good as Bach, but that pass is minimal. Man, that's good enough.
And Savion and the force fumble. Which was an excellent play. No. That was a great special teams play.
He had the fourth down one. Yep.
Yeah, the fourth down one. I'm sorry. But, you know, let's talk just a little bit about how good, and we've come to expect it a little bit, so we haven't talked about it too much, but at Freeman was just on a whole nother level yesterday. I mean, Savion had 10 tackles and you know, Freeman only had 9, but when you look at the solos, Savion had 2 solos and Freeman had 6. So, yeah. I mean, that really points out that dude is just a monster and he's so quick. He's all over the field. Go ahead, Dallas.
No, I'll say I did it again. I turned to Hudson. And I said, play like Jason Freeman. My son is a freshman in high school. He's a linebacker. So that is how you play. Watch him.
That's awesome. But and that's another Illinois kid too, that he was on the post game with Tyler talking about, you know, that's been a little bit different coming out to South Dakota State. He's so used to having family at his games, and having a ton of people at this one was really meaningful to him, because where he was at before, Nazarene wasn't too far. And so he always had a lot of family in the stands, he said. So, very cool. I don't know. That's kind of the fun part. I'm sure they'll maybe make the trip down, all of them down to Carbondale or wherever Salukis are at.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, Carbondale's a good time. I hung out with Kyle there.
You were there.
COVID year. Yeah.
Yeah. Fun. Yeah. We have a nice stadium. I think we fashioned ours a little bit after.
It's very similar. It's very similar. Their attendance has sucked lately, which they don't deserve. They deserve better than what they've got from what I've seen. But no, stadium's cool. I like the town a little bit, I saw. I got a bail here in just a minute, guys. Anything else you need out of me?
Let's get who are you giving a game ball to? Did you decide? Is it Isaiah on offense?
We're jumping. I did not. Sorry, are we talking this week or next week?
This week.
Yeah, Isaiah clearly. And to be honest with you, defensively, let's go Savion.
Any special teams for you?
Nothing. I'm not going to act like, oh, everybody played bad, because I'm sure there are some guys that balled out and played great, but I didn't catch anything clear enough to call out a special teams.
Fair enough.
Yep.
All right.
Next week, give me DePriest. I'm sure one of you guys will take him too, but give me Mark. I think we're going to need to get the passing game fired up. So those are my two.
All right. And do you have a score?
So I, like you, I picked this as an L. I am not going to pick it as an L. I am going to go 32-17 Jackrabbits, which is a weird score, but let's do it.
All right. Sounds good. Safe travels, buddy.
All right. Later.
Thanks for being on, bud.
Yeah. See you, Dallas. Bye. All right. So Game Ball is presented by Jackrabbit Central. What do we say about Jackrabbit Central there? We love their stuff. We love their gear. And I really want their Pheasant State stuff. So I'm probably going to hit up that. Hopefully they still have some on the shelf when I'm there in November. Because I will not be there on Saturday.
I went in the other day, and the only thing I can say is I wish they had a few more 3Xs, you know, because I got 2 shirts. They're awesome. Just a little short on the Pheasant State. I get it. That's kind of a limited run. So,
yeah. Yeah. What a cool line, though. I love that. And that's something awesome that fans have been asking for a while, right? A tie-in to that. And no, the new
gear. We've had it in the past over the years, right? So we've
Didn't it just start as a hat, though? Like a pheasant?
It was hats. I think, yeah, just hats is where it started, right?
Ooh, Tammy. Good one. Gosh, you guys are the best. Tammy brings up that the downtown location of Jackrabbit Central opens back up on Tuesday. Thank you, Tammy, for bringing that up.
Yeah, fully remodeled, new location. So she'll have to check that out during the Hobo Day Parade. Be a great time to check that out, right? So
yeah, that's a good spot to check out. Right on the see, but I like to be a little more at the start of the parade if when I'm there. Oh,
really? Because
then you can go straight to tailgating.
You can't go have beers and fan cakes at Wooden Legs if you know.
You can do that, but then like sneak back up and. I don't know.
I always end up sneaking back around, going out to Western, and then you know bombing around back to Madera, and then getting back into our tailgate.
So folks get mad at me for this, but I don't like the Hobo Day Parade, Chad. I know you really love it. It's not really for me. It's too long. It's too long, and
it is a very long parade. Gaps. You're right. I usually leave.
You get these giant gaps, and it can't. It just doesn't work for me. So well, if I go, I'm by like Egg Hall and I see the very beginning and then I leave.
You know, I'm married to a former Pride member who's also a band instructor. So we always have to at least watch the Pride. So that's
fair enough.
After the Pride, we leave sometimes, you know, maybe see a fire truck or two and take off or one of the high school bands, you know, we watch a couple, but we don't usually stay till the bitter end, but you got to stay long enough that, you know, when you come around on Madera that there's not still floats and such there.
That's true.
And that's how we try and time it, honestly. So
fair enough. Let us know in the comments, are you a fan of the parade or would you rather skip it? So, and go to tailgating like me.
I mean, there's people that show up just for the parade, Matt. So I've had friends that come just for the parade and then they're like, I don't care about football.
I mean,
some people come to the football games to watch the band too. And we love the pride in our section. So, but we do come for the football game.
Yep. All right, Chad. So you watched some of the Indiana State UNI game, correct?
Yeah, I watched a little bit of the first half here just after I got done digging my hole. So,
right. Tell us about it.
Well, it's about 3x3 and about 15 inches deep. No, you know, I expected better out of UNI, really. And they did not look good at all. I think if they do play the way they played yesterday, I guess, that we're going to have a day on both offense and defense. Their offensive line looked like some kind of filter and definitely not the HEPA variety because they were getting right through there and putting pressure on Day. If it wasn't for quick passes, he wasn't getting anything off. And offensively they seem to run right at him, you know, Dinka, that was his first day back, and he really ran right through the middle of them. You know, I guess they were, you know, they were stunting and pulling some they were trying to get their linebackers behind the line of scrimmage, and they just seemed to call it wrong. You know, they brought in the edge rushers for pressure, and they were running up the middle when that happened. You know, I don't know. I'm surprised that the game kind of ended the way it did. I didn't get to see the second half, so maybe that's where all the points were scored. And you and I made adjustments at halftime and looked much better. But, you know, I don't feel comfortable with that assessment.
Yeah, right. See, this is the issue with you and I. Like, they look mediocre. Last year, Indiana State almost beat them. Last year too, right? Or did they beat them last year? I can't remember. It was a closer game than it should have been. Ron, don't you put this on us. Just say it. Northern Iowa stinks. No.
Yeah. No, we don't want that bad juju.
No, Ron. So I don't know. You know, watching them earlier this season, their offensive line is just not the same. We brought this up before. Ryan Clady or Clady is now the offensive line coach at Iowa State. He was very, very, very good. They brought in the offensive line coach. He was there before Clady. And, you know, I don't know if Clady left because he knew he was leaving kind of a empty cupboard or what. But their offensive line has just not been good all season long. They're, what, five games in now? They kind of are who they are as a team. And it just I don't know. That Harrison Bay-Bowie, I've talked about him. He's a very good running back. He's a transfer, I think, from Eastern Illinois. Their other back, I don't know, did he get hurt? He only had one carry. So yeah. I was kind of wondering about that. Their big back, another transfer that they brought in. So I just don't know. They have a whole arsenal of wide receivers. Sam Schnee is Bo Bellquist-esque, I think. He has a good connection with Day. Sergio Morency is back. Day threw him kind of a murder ball. Not kind of. Did throw him a murder ball against Iowa State to start the season, and he's been out ever since. He's the guy that got the leaping penalty last year, actually, yep. on the field goal as well. We met his family in the parking lot last year, too. That was kind of cool. Walking into the game. Yeah, so.
Maybe tried to hand him a pudding shot.
Yeah, right, yeah. So I don't know. I'm this offense I'm intrigued about because Day hasn't looked as good as we saw last year at the end of the season, which doesn't sit well for his draft status as a player.
And it's almost got to be because he's more of a pocket passer. You know, he rolled a couple times in the film that I watched, but, you know, he just didn't have time even then. So, yeah. I mean, because he's lit us up with Schnee before, right? I mean, that's happened. And so I guess it all just points to the maybe the O-line hasn't gelled yet for them. And you know, they could in our game. That it's potential. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen during the Hobo Day game.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and that's one of those things, right? Is this a game where they try to do what they've done in Hobo Days past and just take the air out of the football and run it down our throats, but they don't maybe have the offensive line to do that. So, or if Ben's saying here, Ty Edwards, their other running back, had one carry for 3 yards. He's had a good season thus far. And if he got hurt and didn't come back in, that could be a big thing. Logan Wolf's a big target for them as well at wide receiver. They have a good tight end in Alex Allen. So, but he didn't have a catch last game. So I don't know. I just don't know what's going on with these guys.
It makes them that much more dangerous in my mind. Like just the Hobo Day curse in my mind. I want to pick us like Dallas did, but
Yeah. Remember that game? What year was it? I don't even remember now.
The rain,
but game? It was the year the rain game, that Hobo Day game, where they averaged like 3.8 yards per carry or something like that on the ground, but just ran it 5,000 times and then passed it when they needed to. Like it just, this makes me sick. I hate this game against these guys. So, and Ron, stop.
Yeah, Ron, you're not helping. We know what you think of you and I. That's fine. And it's a fair assessment for every game but the Hobo Day game. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, right. So, I don't know. Defensively, we're kind of seeing, you know, some struggles at the back end of the defense. The linebacker core is new. They graduated Spencer Cuvalier and forget the other cat that was their middle linebacker that just racked up tackles for 4 years. I mean, they got the big defensive tackle and brought in a number of transfers on the defensive line. They did look pretty good against Iowa State. Just have to kind of watch, you know, this game against Indiana State and see who's doing what. Christian Boyd, that's his name. That's the big D tackle. It's a good player. So I don't know. They don't have the horses on the O-line to do that to us this time around. I don't think so.
It doesn't seem like it. It doesn't seem like it.
And that's why I feel sick about this, Ben, because it's like because this shouldn't happen. This shouldn't be that.
Because you're a Vikings fan, and nothing ever pans out the way it should.
I'm not a Vikings fan.
Well, not you. Never mind.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You're a Packers fan. I know.
My bad. Yeah. Hoofta. That was gross for a second, Chad.
I didn't mean to insult you.
All right.
So I was thinking Ben's a Vikings fan. He's got purple in his.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
But then on the back end, Woo Governor's having maybe a quieter year, right?
Dude, he come up on a stop like a bullet in the first half. Just it would have been a huge run, but all of a sudden, boom, and he just about took the kid's head off.
Really?
Yeah. What a name! Like that dude's name's the best, Woo Governor.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just the Love best. It.
That's good. All right, Chad. Who are you picking for offensive player of the game?
Yes, Brendan. I will take my. I will not drink beer at the Hobo Day game to repent for my sins.
How about we just dock your pay again? Don't ruin Hobo Day for yourself.
Who am I picking for this next game?
Yeah,
I'm gonna go with Isaiah, and I think he's gonna do well. I won't pick a position group for the D. I'd like to pick the D line, but I think that's lazy. So I think I got to go. Hey, I got to hold myself to the same standards.
Fair enough.
I think the same guy that got a sack this week is going to be my player of the game.
All right. Trevier. There we go.
Trevier. Yep.
And
I hope special teams figures it out.
There we go. Yeah, right. Offensively, I'm gonna pick Jackson Yonke. I think he's gonna have a nice game. I don't know if they're gonna have Woo Governor follow folks. I mean, really with Jackson or Jaden, it's a pick your poison, right? And there's a huge drop off at corner after Woo. So,
yeah.
Defensively, I'm going Tucker Large. I think he's going to have a chance with, you know, a lot of pressure in his face. We know that Dave puts up some balls sometimes, tip passes. He throws it hard, so there's tip passes, things like that. I think our safeties could feast, and I'd like Tucker Large to maybe have a pick or two in this one. So, oh, gosh.
Certainly right. Good. The people seem to like Amar. For this game,
Amar looked really good this week.
Yeah, he looked great, you know.
An angel
looked good as well.
Oh gosh, all right, scores here, Chad. Dallas said 32-17 as a refresher.
Yeah, I got that, I wrote that down just in case you hadn't gotten to it yet. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. I don't want to say what I'm really thinking. That's what it comes down to. Because I know if I do, I think I'm going to change my position and we get the W and we win by 10. So I'm going to go 24-14.
Ooh. Okay. All right. So I've been on this fence, right? Or not the fence, in this position, picking you and I since the schedule came out, right? And this was announced as the Hobo Day date. This was an automatic L. When I went through my off-season preview, I said, loss. I'm gone. I'm not here for this one. So, you know, I don't have to be too upset about it. 38-3. Run, Loney.
I'm going to write that down, Ron. 38-3.
That's awesome. All right. And
we'll see how that pans out.
Yeah. I'm going 38-24 Jackrabbits. 38-24 Jacks. There we go. Chad, you're writing these down because I'm going to be gone.
Yeah, I got it right here. Matt.
Ben, it's not going to be that miserable because I'm headed someplace warm and sand will be in between my toes. So, all right. Jamal
is saying, is that an all inclusive type deal? I didn't.
It is.
Oh, nice.
Yep. Oh man. Look at this. Everyone's picking some nice predictions here. Seth, Herter is going to come up with at least one big pick this week. All right.
That'd be great.
He was flying around this week. Yeah, Chris Howard, 35-10. Jax, Jamal, I like your confidence. 40-21. There we go.
Yeah, we knew you meant Jax, by the way, Jamal. Thanks for clarifying.
Yeah. There we go. Terry, 41-27. Butterburger on it. Ooh.
Right. Well, Butterburger's 50, so I will solidly pick against that.
Yeah. So. Gosh. Yes, Jordan, here we go. Oops, Deb, 31-21, Jax. Yep. Okay.
That happens to me too, man.
Oh, man, you guys are all so confident. Why is no one else kind of sick about this one? yeah, all right, let's move on to Missouri Valley. We won't spend too much time talking about these, but Southern Illinois, what the heck happened there with that one? Losing 31-3 to Youngstown State in the Ice Castle, which we know is a difficult place to play. But that game was not competitive at all.
31-3, man.
Yeah.
On a team that's supposed to be top 10 in some polls, that's not going to stick with a performance like that against Youngstown State. I'm sorry. That's just not where it's at. So maybe that's their stinker game. Who knows? Maybe like the Patriots, they've gotten their play calls. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, they just looked bad. Like, then this was, and they've played good teams. So we can't even really say, like, what do we know about them? Cause they beat, who'd they beat? Northwestern, right? They beat SEMO, but SEMO's kind of like tanked after, like, SEMO maybe isn't as good as we all thought. Who vacations over Hobode? All right. So this is the third year in a row.
Apparently Matt Hobode.
Yeah. So I had a wedding 3 years ago in Colorado. Last
was that
year,
a W or an L?
That was the other U and I game that we lost.
But we won last year, right?
We won last year. So we were in Colorado again last year. And so the reason we vacation right now is because it's MEA break in Minnesota. And our kids are small enough that it's not a big deal to take them out of school because they only go to school for 2 days this week. And then they're off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So it just for us makes sense. So, oh yeah, NIU. Thank you. And Northern Illinois isn't that good this year either. So I don't know. I don't know. I was disappointed. I thought SIU was going to be really good this year. Maybe they still are. But Nick Baker looked all out of sorts.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Maybe it's because he's rocking that dad bod, you know.
Yeah.
Belly protector.
Yeah, right. All right. Yeah. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Alex, for correcting me there. Northern Illinois it is.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Youngstown's good. And they were probably fired up after losing in a close game to you and I, which it sounds like they really shouldn't have, but their secondary completely went to shit in that one. So
what's the deal? Is it NDSU, us, and USD are the best teams this year in the MVFC? I mean, that's what it's looking like.
Yeah. I'm not ready to write off SIU either.
Or I'm not ready to write them off completely. I'm just saying the best teams. I mean, records would show that. So,
yeah. And this, and really, like, SIU is just interesting because, you know, they lost their defensive coordinator in the offseason to NDSU, and then they lost their defensive coordinator right before the season started to Northwestern. So, you know, everyone was kind of wondering who they were going to be this year on defense anyways, because they did graduate some decent players and they've actually been okay. But then they give up these points to Youngstown, which maybe does have a legitimate offense. I don't know.
Seth Meyer points out that the weather was a factor. He said it was horrible for SIU and their passing team. Mm-hmm. He says game, but they got dominated on the line. So maybe wouldn't change the outcome much.
Yeah.
Sorry, and paraphrasing a bit there, but
Ramir Elliott was out too. And running backs, this is interesting. I thought Nick Baker led the team with 12 rushing attempts for -6 yards.
That's a hell of a stat line.
Yeah, Justin Strong and Sean Lester, the other two backs, had 10 carries for 14 yards. They finished the game as a team with 23 rushes for 6 yards against that Youngstown front, which we know is good. Their secondary stinks. So, yeah, I don't know.
Jordan Fink's right too. He says that's what makes them so scary. They're schizophrenic. They could show up and lay an egg or look like world beaters. And that's true. It's kind of like you and I, you know, they may not look great, going into our game, but here we are.
Yeah.
It's where they usually shine.
Yep. Yep. All right. So other games, North Dakota got right back in the Alaris Center, 49-10 over Western. They looked fine. They really took it to them. North Dakota State, 38-10. Western's
bad.
Yeah. Western's bad. 38-10 over Missouri State, playing with their backup quarterback. I thought Missouri State.
That was an outcome we all saw
coming. Yeah, we all saw it coming. Missouri State left some points on the board, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Like they should have had 14 points, I think, more in the first half, but they kind of Missouri stated themselves. Murray State lost to USD during D-Days in front of a half-capacity crowd in the Dakota Dome, 38-7. USD looked pretty good. They can really run the ball, folks. Murray State, who knows how good they are. But
like we said before, you know, before we started here, Murray State's, we thought they were going to come in and be the worst team potentially in the league, and they definitely have not been that. So they've looked pretty decent at times. So hopefully they're on the upswing.
Yeah, I told Chad before the game, really pretty pleasantly surprised by Murray State in this one. They had their chances to score a few more points too. They fumbled right at the goal line, I think. So that was an interesting. We talked about Southern at Youngstown, and we've kind of talked about Northern Iowa at Indiana State too. So, that's Chad. Do you have that Week 7 schedule just to look ahead to the upcoming games?
Yeah, you want me to pop it up?
Yeah. Yep. I agree, Seth. NDSU's passing defense is not good. Outside of Cole Wisniewski at safety, those corners are not good for them at all, and their second safety is not good. Wisniewski is just playing like a maniac right now. He's a really good player. That was a good move for him to move back from linebacker to safety. That's where he played in high school. So, yeah.
He's just a good football player.
Yeah, right? Super smart, too, right? Hasn't he won, like, that Scholar Athlete Award a couple times down in Frisco?
A couple times, too? I think. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's exciting for them, or him.
So next week. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
No, you go ahead. I've talked a bunch. You go.
Yeah, so next week it looks like we got North Dakota State at North Dakota, and this is, I think, where we see, well, what are the Bison actually made of? Because we all know that UND plays best in the giant tin box that they call home, and this might be the year. What do you think, Matt?
I mean, I said this on the radio with JD Barrett last week. I just don't think UND's personnel for the 3-4 is right. Like, they have the wrong personnel to be playing a 3-4 defense. They're too small on the defensive line. And even those ends for a 4-3 defense, those ends aren't probably big enough for that either. So to try to play a 3-4 out of it, they're going to have to do something different, because NDSU, I don't know how much you've watched that game, Chad, but they played three tight ends for a lot on that. Or actually it was two tight ends and then that Brosio or whatever fullback that they have, Hunter Brosio, I think. And they just, some of the plays they're running on that, like kind of a stacked tight end formation right on either line, you know, end of the line of scrimmage, and just give it to one of their backs, or it's a quarterback power, and they're just, you know, hat on hat, just blocking it straight up. And UND just doesn't have the heft to do that. I think UND may be able to score on them, on NDSU's defense, through the passing game, but man, I just don't see them stopping the Bison run game at all.
Yeah, when they line up in 13 personnel, they got a lot of beef on that line, so that does make it a little harder to stop the run.
Youngstown at USD, huge game here. And I had to give one of the Youngstown accounts some shit, because they said they were going to walk into a hostile environment in Vermilion. And we'll have to check out Green Dot Watch to see.
You know, their fan got a megaphone and brought it to the game.
Yep. Yeah, so I'm very interested in that, because, you know, this is going to be a good game. See what Youngstown team shows up. They're going to be pretty pumped up about whooping up on SIU. I don't know. This is going to be a fun test, because Youngstown's rush defense is very good, like we just said, and USD can really run the ball. Josh Davis has them performing well. So
yeah, we'll see. Aiden Bauman can throw pretty well too. So you know, if they do get they do stop the run pretty well, the Coyote offense is much more balanced, it seems, this year.
Yep. Yeah, that's gonna be a fun game. Geez, what a fun week in Valley play here. So Southern at Murray State.
Oh, that's fine. I was just gonna say then we have Southern at Murray State, which I think will be a get right game for Southern. There's boy, if they don't win that one, I think we can write them off completely. Yeah. But I think they win that one by a fair margin, and there's not much more to say about that game, I don't think.
Yeah. Then Indiana State at Illinois State. Illinois State should bounce back in that one. But who knows? Indiana State, you know, didn't look awful against you and I. So, or no, else you and not. I is actually bad. One of the two. So
that's true. And then we got Missouri State at Western. Another one of those matches where it's not really going to be much of a contest. I think Missouri State handles this one. Maybe it won't be a high scoring affair, so to speak, but I don't think this game will be in question much. So that one, just a couple easy picks there for you guys.
Yeah. I don't know. This is funny. Dallas. I know two USD alumni in Mankato. I said, congrats on the win 2 weeks ago. He said, what win?
Good. Yeah. They're really engaged their fan base.
Oh, I mean, watching that game, that has to be disappointing for the players to see the Dakota Dome. I know that game wasn't in question, but it's your homecoming. You're coming off a huge win after being pretty awful in recent seasons. And that's the crowd that you get. Like, come on, USD fans. Those players deserve better than that.
Yeah, so, they do.
Yeah. I feel absolutely sick about picking this game this way. I can't, I don't know. 38-24 is what I said. So
yep.
This we can't have the Hobo Day lay an egg game. We can't you and I always plays this closer than it should be. So kind of want to pick my score or change my score. Is it too late?
No, I'll allow it if you want to change it. My paper still has room.
Yeah. But I don't see us giving up more points than that. So I'm going to change it to, because I don't think we'll give up more than 24 points. I'm going to say Jackrabbits win 27-24. I'm backing it down. So
27-24. I got it.
Yeah.
Ron Lowney still thinks it's going to be 38-3.
Yeah.
I don't know about that, bud.
Yeah. we forgot Culver's. Talk about Culver's and Cubbies. So for when you get to Brookings, you got lots of choices for food, right? But we're going to recommend Culver's if you need to get something kind of quick. And if you have time to sit down, go to Cubbies. I'm guessing Cubbies will have kegs and eggs, right? They usually do before Hobo Day.
Usually do. I think a good plan on Hobo Days is get Culver's like early, go to the game. Then after the game, sit down and have a beer at Cubbies, you know?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, why not? So thank you, Cubbies. Thank you, Culver's. Thank you, Kubota. Thank you, Jackrabbit Central. Appreciate you guys. Thanks to everyone that's been here listening and watching. I'll try to come on next week. We'll see how everyone's doing once we get settled in. So I'll bring my phone and headphones and yep.
We got a programming update that we did have one comment early. You know, the Ravid pointed out that we are going to be having a guest on the B team this week. So we will be going on Tuesday instead. So that's it. Just we'll put it out there when we're going to be up. So I'll have a link to it probably somewhere around before 5, probably on Tuesday, hopefully. Or a little after, probably, actually, because I won't be on my regular schedule because I'll be out in Pier this week. So,
yeah. Who's your guest again?
Staff meeting. Oh, sorry. The guests are going to be the quote-unquote FCS hacks, Sean Anderson and Joe DeLeon from the Believe Sports Network. So,
and why are you having
to the? Okay, they're coming to the Hobo Day game. You know, we our fans are the best, as you pointed out several times during this podcast, and we voted them into not having a chance of going anywhere else. And last year, they're like, well, South Dakota State can't participate, but they weren't smart enough to make it for more than 1 year. So they're coming back to Brookings. I know they got hotel rooms in Brookings. They're going to have a full Hobo Day weekend. They're coming in Friday afternoon into Sioux Falls. Yeah. Yeah. So I expect some kind of repeat from the last time. Joe, I'm sorry about your gut, but you haven't experienced a real good time. Brendan's spending the night up there in the same hotel. So I think they'll be hanging out. And we'll see if Sean can go beer for beer with Brendan. I would take the under on that. But yeah.
Hey, that's awesome. And for those of you that are still watching us, Twins are winning 3-0. So
woohoo, go Twins.
Yeah, win Ben Twins. And Deb haven't given updates lately, so they must have checked out. But yeah, awesome. Have fun, everyone, at Hobo Day. It's a great celebration. I'm really hoping next year I can be there for it.
Miles is getting to the age where he could really enjoy the parade. So
right by Egg Hall, by Ben and Darren and Aaron, right at the start, where it's properly should be watched, and Alex, I think, too. So,
well, you know, the other advantage of being right there is all the candy buckets are full at that point, so you don't have to worry about it running out.
Hey, good point. Hey, thanks everyone for tuning in. Thank you to our sponsors. Please like, subscribe, share, all that good stuff. We really appreciate you. And whoever's listening in Angola, thank you for making us the 180th most popular sports podcast in Angola. Thanks. With that, go big, go blue. Go Jacks.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. We would also like to once again thank our sponsors, the Kubota Dealers of South Dakota, Culver's of Brookings and Watertown, Jackrabbit Central, and Colby Sports Bar and Grill. And as always, Go Jacks.